Glad you are here. Our sermon text this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So we are continuing in Colossians chapter 3 this morning as Paul continues to describe the characteristics of the Christian household. And today, as you might have guessed, we're going to be talking about children and parents. And if you're a parent, there are really very few things in life, with the exception of your marriage, that reveals our need for the grace and the mercy of Jesus more than parenting. Amen? Yeah, parenting it's kind of hard. It's frustrating. It's defeating at times. It can lead to anxiety and fear and anger and stress and depression, to locking yourself in the bathroom and crying in the closet, or threatening to ground your children for eternity. They can't do that, kids, by the way, just while you're alive. But all of those feelings that come with parenting, all the thoughts of how we've failed as parents or that our kids are just crazy. No offense, kids. And when we struggle, it's so easy to turn inward, to focus on ourselves, to spiral down into this really dark place where you say, I'm just going to curl up in bed for the day. But parenting is also this beautiful tool that God uses for our sanctification, if we're willing to take our weakness and our inability to God. The call of the gospel in every area of our lives, and especially in parenting, is to bring our weakness to Him. To bring your fear and doubt and anxiety and frustration to Him. To seek His power and His wisdom. To rest in His grace and to trust that He is with you. That you are not alone. And just to set things up, the New Testament almost never addresses children and parents until it addresses husbands and wives. In fact, it's almost always built out like we see it here in Colossians. Here's God's call on the wife, and here's God's call on the husband. Now let's move on to children and parents. Because it's implicit that our ability to parent well and to impart to our children the things of God starts with a man who serves and loves and encourages his wife as she submits and respects the role that God has called him toward. But the reality is that we don't live in a perfect world. So right out of the gate, we're in need of the grace and the mercy of God. Because most of us are not consistently that type of husband and consistently that type of wife. And some of you are single parents, or it's your second or your third marriage. So we live in this fractured world where all of us have failed on some level. All of us have fallen short. So really, before we even get to children and parents, we're at a disadvantage because we're still trying to get our minds wrapped around what it looks like to have a marriage that honors God. And so, as we approach the text, my hope is that we will approach with a posture of humility, knowing that our only hope as parents is the grace of God through the saving work of Jesus Christ in our lives. That we need the power of the indwelling Spirit to love our spouse, and we need His power to raise our children in godliness. But before we talk too much about parents, you probably noticed that Paul begins by talking to children. He says, children, obey your parents in everything. I love that addition. For this pleases the Lord. So kids, can you hear me? Three of you can. That's great. That's better than I expected. You can hear me. Paul is actually talking to you. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Amen. Now, the whole Bible is actually talking to you. God's word is for you. But right here, Paul is talking specifically to children. And that should be exciting. Now, if you're not sure if you are, fitting into the category of child or children, I can help out with that. If you live at home and your parents pay your bills, you are a child. Okay? So, in case that's not clear, if you're a 25-year-old dude that lives in your mom's basement and plays Xbox, you're a child. And if you're wondering why your parents won't get off your back, it's because you're a child. You need to obey them. And if you don't like that, then get a job, move out of the house, and then all you have to do is honor them. You don't have to follow all their rules, but until then, you are a child, so obey. But most of our kids here are just like normal kids, right? Just kids. I've got four of them, and then a bunch of extras from the family. I see you. So, Paul says in Colossians, to you kids, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And he also says in Ephesians chapter 6, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So kids, this is how God created things to work. Kind of like we talked about last week, God designed marriage between a man and a woman with full equality and value and glory, but with different roles. And God says, children are a blessing. You kids are a blessing to your parents, but God also says that you children should submit and obey the rules of your parents because it's right and because it's pleasing to the Lord. This is how God designed your family to work. And so, listen up, kids. I'm going to say that a lot of times because I know you. The reason God gave you parents is because you're not actually as smart as you think you are. When you were younger, you may not remember this, but your parents had to put covers over all the electrical sockets. They put locks on the cabinets. They had to make sure no small objects like quarters were left on the ground. Because despite the fact that they bought you all of those awesome toys that you left all over the ground, what you really wanted to do was stick your finger in an electrical socket and eat the quarter off the ground and drink whatever weird chemicals were underneath the sink. But your parents loved you enough to not let you do that most of the time. Sage did swallow a penny. It was a parent fail. But now, like you're a little older and you're wiser than you were, but you do still want a snack every 20 minutes. And you still think television is good for you. And if your parents let you, you would probably eat M&Ms for breakfast, right? You would. So here's the hard truth. I'm sure you're still listening. I already said it once, but your kids and your adult parents don't even listen, so sometimes. So just go ahead and listen. You're not as smart as you think you are. I know you watch Wildcrats, and you learned a lot there. And Dora helped you with Spanish, which is amazing. But there's still a lot that you have to learn. God gave you parents to save you from yourself. Because if you got to do everything you wanted to do, your life would be a total disaster. It would be. We were kids. We know that. Because part of our human nature, part of how we were made, is this: there's this intrinsic arrogance to being young, right? We're kind of born prideful. You may not see it now, but I have four kids at home who all four know everything. They're smart. They're like walking encyclopedias. Do you know what an encyclopedia is, kids? It's a paperback version of Google. So you have to flip to it. Lots of information, but here's the thing, kids. The older you get, the more you realize how little you really know. God gave you parents to save you from the things that you don't know. Because I remember when I was a kid seeing all of those cool kids who could go and do whatever they wanted, who could stay out late and eat whatever they wanted and watch whatever they wanted and play video games whenever they wanted. And it seemed so awesome to not have parents breathing down your neck all the time, ruining all your fun, being able to watch TV, eat whatever. But then you get older, And what you realize is that having loving parents who care enough about you to give you rules and enforce rules is so much better than doing whatever you want. Your parents love you enough to not let you do whatever you want. And as you get older, you're going to realize this, and I hope you thank your parents for loving you enough to set rules and boundaries to place around you, because if they didn't, you would probably already have electrocuted yourself and choked on the quarter, and your hair would be green from something you drank under the cabinet. So, another point to make, your parents aren't perfect. Okay, hopefully you figured that out by now. They're not perfect. They've made lots of mistakes, but they also know a little bit about life, partly because they've made so many mistakes, and they don't want you to make the same mistakes that they already made. So listen to your parents, not because I say to, and not even because they're always right, but because God says, obey your parents, because that is right. And because it is pleasing to the Lord. It's how God intended things to work in your family. And since we've already established the fact that you were raised on Wildcrats, right? You can quote everything about every animal on that show. I'll try and speak your language with an animal illustration. I'm sure I'll get some of the facts wrong, but just show me some grace. Could you imagine if all of the creatures God created, all the animals, just decided to rebel against their parents? I don't think it would go well if they just decided not to listen to their parents' instructions. So, like the antelope, right? They live in Africa somewhere. You could probably tell me exactly where. So you got the antelope, and she's like, forget you, Mom, forget you, Dad. I'm faster than a lion. I'm not afraid of a lion. So she just runs up to the lion and starts taunting the lion rather than listening to her parents who said all of growing up, when you see a lion, you run. How do you think it's going to go for that antelope, kids? Horrible. It's not going to go good. She might get away the first time or even the second time, but she's eventually going to be lion food. She is. She's going to be one of those poor antelope you see on PBS on the nature show where she gets caught and then you have to turn the channel because it's just disgusting. That's how that ends. So why is it so hard to obey our parents? Why is it so hard? That's a hard question. There's this thing called sin. It's a big problem. David says that we were all born into iniquity. That is, we were born with this bent towards rebellion, towards disobedience. And as parents, we know that. We have to train you to be obedient. We don't have to train you to be disobedient. Disobedience just comes naturally. We're born with that. But what God wants for you kids, and what he wants for you parents, is to realize that loving God and obeying God, which means obeying your parents, isn't God trying to make your life less fun. It's God saying, here's how I created you to live. Here's how you can experience the most joy in life. Sin is always going to cause problems. It's always going to try and get you to make really bad decisions. But Jesus came to pay the penalty for that sin. Jesus came to save you and give you the power to live a life that pleases God and brings you lasting joy. And I know it's hard to see sometimes, kids, when you're not getting what you want, but your parents love you and they want what's best for you. The Bible even says that the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. God disciplines the ones he loves, and your parents do the same thing. All the rules, all the boundaries, even the punishment is your parents loving you well and trying to raise you to be a healthy, strong child of God. So obey them. They've got a pretty hard job that you'll probably understand one day. So Paul tells children to obey their parents in everything, and then he turns his attention to the parents, primarily fathers, He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." And so the reason Paul zeroes in on fathers here is obviously not because mothers don't play a huge role in the raising of children. I really think it's quite the opposite. I think there's two reasons Paul addresses the fathers specifically. The first flows from last week's discussion that the husband is the representative head of the household. That is, the father is the one who will give account before God for his children. And that should be a little bit frightening. And the second reason is because both historically and culturally, fathers have epically failed at this. Fathers have abdicated the role of raising, disciplining, and discipling their children. They've bought into this corrupt understanding of manhood and that views raising children as woman business. And whether you really believe this, or like so many puffed up men in our culture, this is really just a cover-up for overwhelming insecurity that's stewing under the surface, it's unacceptable. As we said at the beginning, no one in this room is nailing the parenting thing. No one has it all together. You will not be the perfect father or the perfect mother. And if your identity is wrapped up in that, if you think your child's future is bound up in your parenting skills, you will do your child a tremendous disservice. The only hope for your children, just like the only hope for you, is the saving work of Jesus Christ. You cannot save your child. You cannot mandate faith or transform their heart. But what you can do is create conditions in your home for the gospel to flourish. You can speak the truth of God to your children. You can pray with them and you can pray for them. And you can model repentance and forgiveness. And that's a call on every parent, mothers and fathers. But fathers seem to have a particular struggle here. For all the culturally manly men we have in our society, football, muscle car, MMA watching barbecue kings, talking to their kids about Jesus scares them. Barking rules, laying down the law, backing up mommy in discipline, they've got that. But talking about the grace and mercy of Jesus with a six-year-old, insecurities abound. And guys try and hide them behind this thin veil of manliness, but they're really just afraid. And the problem with this is that the law brings death. If all they ever hear from you is the rules and enforcement of the rules, you are damaging your children. Like, that's gospel 101. The hope we all have when looking at the law of God is that Christ has satisfied the law for us. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So we strive to walk in obedience to God, knowing that His love is unwavering. That our identity is not wrapped up in our performance or our perfection, but that Christ now lives in us and is empowering us towards holiness. And that is what your kids need from you. Not legalism, but unconditional love, rooted in the grace of Jesus, pointing to the power that we have in Him. And that doesn't mean we go easy on the rules. I love rules. You are the authority over your children, but you are also under the authority of God. So it would do us all well to ponder how God engages us in our failure and to show the same loving kindness and grace to our children when they fail. To shower our children with the truth of Christ so that they know that even in punishment, their identity is secure in Christ and our love does not waver, even if they're grounded for eternity. And this is what Paul is saying. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Don't provoke, don't exasperate them. The point is not that we don't discipline our kids, because that would be chaos. It would be Lord of the Flies, especially with the number of kids we have around here. Firmness is necessary, but our discipline should be tempered with a loving spirit and purity of motive. That is, it should be driven by our love for our children, not our annoyance with their disobedience, lest they become discouraged. Because our ultimate goal as parents is not simply to shape our children's actions, but to shape their hearts. To expose the foolishness of sin and to magnify the glory of God so that they long to walk in holiness. So that God would be glorified through them. Not just so that they would gain the approval or the attention of daddy. And what stands out to me about Paul's words here is that the provoking he talks about leads to discouragement. I typically think of provocation leading to anger or rebellion or frustration, and I think all of those responses can result from discouragement. Because discouragement is the opposite of hope. And so Paul is saying that provocation removes their hope. And I see the provoking that Paul's talking about really coming from two different directions. There's two different types. There's an active and a passive provoking, which leads to a lack of hope or discouragement in our children. The active is pretty obvious. It's being overly harsh, judgmental, authoritarian, legalistic, lacking grace and beating our kids down. That's obviously discouraging. When you can never do good enough to please your father. When there's always a correction, always a pointing out a fault, always a complaint. It's discouraging. But I think there is also a passive provocation. It's the disengaged, disinterested, passive father. It's being so busy or so preoccupied with really important things that you drive your children to discouragement by a lack of attention, lack of love, engagement, relationship. And maybe I could be stretching the definition of provocation, but whether active or passive provoking, it is a failure to love our children as Christ has loved us. To model the love of Jesus that we have experienced to our children. Because your children and my children need the gospel. They need Jesus. More than they need to act rightly. More than they need to do well in school. More than they need to have fun or be a great athlete or be entertained every second of the day. And the greatest discipleship relation that they have, for better or for worse, is in your home. You are the primary means of discipleship with your children. It's not the church. I mean, we're here to support you. These families are here to walk alongside you, but discipling your child is the responsibility that God has given to you. And I know that that's intimidating for a lot of parents. It was super intimidating when we were new parents. But that's why God puts us in a community. We are here to walk alongside one another. And the beauty of discipling your children is that you're probably going to learn with them. You're going to learn as you teach. And it's really not complicated. Grab a Jesus storybook Bible and start reading it with your kids. I love that Bible. Even if your kid's 24 years old and living in the basement, right? It's an awesome book. Read the Word. Pray with your kids. Talk about the Bible. Just relax and give yourself some grace. You're not perfect, and you are going to mess things up. Go in with that, and you don't have to worry. You will mess things up. You're not going to parent perfectly. You are, at times, going to provoke your kids. You're going to lose your temper. You're going to do dumb stuff. But as I tell parents over and over, your failure as a parent is a beautiful platform for the glory of God. Because when you respond in anger to your kids or talk harshly or whatever your sin is, It's an opportunity to model repentance to your children, to practice humility. Your perfect parenting doesn't teach your kids a whole lot. I mean, it's cool if you're perfect, but it doesn't teach them a whole lot. But when you fail, when you sin, and you humble yourself before God and your children, and you ask for forgiveness, they will never forget that moment. They will understand that we as parents are also under an authority, that we love Jesus and long to honor him with our lives. And I say your kids will never forget because I remember that from my childhood, like it was yesterday. And my parents are here, and I ran this by them, so, you know, there you go. So I'm standing in the kitchen. Okay, this is like middle school, okay? I was a punk. I'll just put that out there. Standing in the kitchen, and my mom, I don't know if she asked me something or told me to do something, but whatever the case, I had a punk middle school response, like either I'm not going to do it or whatever. Anyways, so I turned to go the other direction, at which point my face made contact with my dad's slap hand. Yeah. I just got straight up slapped, and he's like, "You don't talk to your mom that way." And, you know, parental disclaimer, that's the only time I got slapped. And honestly, it was lesson learned. And I probably should have just gotten a beat down. I needed it when I was in middle school. But I did. I got slapped. But getting slapped was actually not the most memorable part of the story. Because the next day, my dad takes me to McDonald's, which was awesome because Husky Patrick likes French fries. And I'm like, this is the best. Like, I hadn't even thought twice. Like, I got slapped because I'm a punk. So we're sitting there eating, and he began to explain how the other day he had responded out of anger, and he was apologizing for slapping me in anger. And I was like, what? No, that was good parenting. Like, that. Okay, but he's repenting. And here's the point is, getting slapped succeeded in modifying my behavior. It was a parental win. But the humility and love it took my dad to repent for the anger in that moment was a gospel win. It was a better win. That was discipleship at work. So don't beat yourself up when you fail. That's just you focusing on yourself. It's self-centeredness. Accept the grace that Jesus has offered you and humble yourself before your kids. Show them the grace that you've received in Jesus. You can do this. God has given you all the tools you need to disciple your children. And he's placed you in a community of people who have traveled this road before you. Don't neglect the tremendous wisdom that is available in this room. God is for you, and he is for your family, and his power is perfected in your weakness. And kids, obey your parents. Let's pray.